Yo, 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 what is up? Hey, Roman.
Good Monday morning.
Good
No kidding.
Tuesday afternoon, man.
I'm just kidding.
You're just getting
What's up,
ready.
everyone?
It's not like we scheduled this and we had to be ready on time and you didn't already like sh brush your beard. For the video that we never actually publish. Today we're joined by Amit Sheen. What's up, Amit?
Hi, how are you, Avo? How are you, Roman? I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Happy
We're
to have you.
we couldn't have had you on the show at a better time. You know?
Wow. Thank you, but why?
Because, in light of recent events in Dev Twitter, right? The whole The whole,
You're talking about the tailwind the fiasco.
yes, absolutely, yes,
Yeah, it's
kerfuffle.
weird because it started, yeah, kerfuffle. It started because on something really mild, like it was like just a comment by the guy from Syntax, Scott Olinsky. So he just said, like, at this point, come on, just start using CSS, and he's right, like. All of those tools, one of the main things, not just in Tailwind, it goes back Bootstrap and also with JavaScript libraries. One of the things is that the tools, they should be used at a proper place, and at one point you should say, okay, stop. And I think that the point that he comment on the post that somebody just posted the class list of a button, and it was 7 lines of classes. I think something
More
like 7 lines of classes.
like 30, I think, but yeah.
Yeah, it was way long. So yeah, at this point, maybe you're not working with the best tools. And yeah, so Tech Twitter was Tech Twitter, and everybody started arguing.
But the funny thing
And
is, it's nothing new, right? This is the
yeah,
same
here's the
exact
thing.
argument from 2 years ago.
Exactly, that's what I said. I don't know why this tweet actually like reignited this whole thing. But there was nothing new. And it's one of those arguments where both sides has valid points because tools like Tailwind has great advantages in certain places, and but they do have disadvantages in other places. So. Come on, just we all have to agree on that. It's like people think that I don't like Tailwind. No, I don't like working with Tailwind, but that's okay. I don't think the
That's
Tailwind thought
fine.
about me
We
as
don't
a
hate you
user.
for that.
Yeah, I know. I don't
Hold
think
on.
that they
First
want
of
me
all,
as a
speak for
user.
yourself. Second, no, but can we just dig into you said like a few things there. And I'm really interested. So you're saying you're not a Tailwind user yourself?
I'm not like a textbook user.
You don't use it in like day to day.
No.
Have you ever used it day to day?
Tailwind specifically, I
So,
haven't
yeah.
worked on a full project with Tailwind. I have done some demo project for myself to learn that instrument.
Right.
I am working with Bootstrap right now, sadly. But no, not Tailwind. I have worked a lot with Bootstrap.
So that's great. That for me, like that's great because you're obviously like a prolific CSSer, and but you're
CSS.
not a yeah, but you're not a daily Tailwind user. So I think you're like the prime candidate to help us dig into to your perspective and the perspective of a lot of people that mostly look at Tailwind, from the side, not being really, hardcore consumers. Because both me and Yoav, I've been working with Tailwind for years at this point. Yoav, I don't know what you actually do at your current position, But I do know that you've worked with Tailwind for years also.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking for us, you know, some of these things might be difficult to see from. So I'm just saying, maybe for me and Yoav, it's a little difficult to see that point of view since it's so,
okay,
you know.
Speak for yourself.
Right. So I'm speaking for myself. No, but so maybe for me, it's a little difficult to see that point of view. But like,
okay, so maybe, but here's the thing. Maybe I'm not a day-to-day user of Tailwind, but I am a day-to-day user of CSS, and I have used the tool. As I said, I built a few demo projects for myself. I don't trust to judge any tool before I actually use it. And again, I don't judge Tailwind. I think it's a great tool, but I do think like any other tool, it has its limits. And this is the first thing that is problematic with this kind of tools, that, you know, people, developers, like to fall in love in certain tools, and then this tool, this is the best. And it's okay, but it's the best for up to a point. You know, I've been around, I've been starting writing code since, I'm not going to mention years, but it was on my Commodore 64, and it was brand new. So I've been around for a long time, and I've seen a lot of libraries and solutions come and go. But you know, eventually, the basics are always there. So Tailwind would never replace CSS, and utility classes would never replace CSS. So yeah, work with those kind of tools, but know that they do have their limits. That's it. And yeah,
so what is
point when you have 30 lines of classes on a button, dude, you're doing something wrong. That's what I'm saying.
So I'm interested to dig in deeper into that topic. You said, first of all, you said that you like every tool has its place, right? So what do you think is the good place for Tailwind, and what's and like an inadequate usage of Tailwind, and why having 30 classes on a single button, why is that a bad thing?
Well, it's a bad thing because, first of all, for readability, and second of all, you know, one of the things that everybody say that Tailwind is so good at is bringing down the CSS size to a very, very small size. Of course, using per CSS and all those kind of things. But on the other hand, you have this enormous markup. So the markup is so much bigger. So like if, yes, you only defined a certain class in one place and you only ship it in one time, but you call it so many times from the markup. So it's okay. So maybe in terms of character count is a bit less character, but it's not as readable.
I'm going to disagree on that.
You disagree
on the readability part?
I think in general, like, it's not an interesting discussion to have because readability is not like an absolute thing. You know, it's like
readability is very important in code, in maintenance.
No. It is very important, but I'm just saying that it's not like an absolute metric. It's not that
no,
you can say.
No, of course not. No, of course
each,
not. But
each person, you know, is accustomed to different things. So, like, some people really like how, you know, CSS and JS with like object syntax. Some people find that very readable. Some people find it not as readable as like, you know, straight up CSS. So
okay,
I'm
but
saying
not as readable is not comparing to having a markup with 30 classes on each and every object. And again, by the way, on that exact example that Tulinski gave, he actually did an experiment and he wrote the same thing in pure CSS and did a character count, and he found that the CSS part was actually with less characters. So, okay, this was an example, like it was a very specific example, okay? But in general, when you see Tailwind code, the markup becomes very big, very fast. And it is bigger than the normal markup if you would use just regular classes. So yes, the CSS is smaller, but the HTML, the markup is big. Here's the thing. I think...
But what are you saying here? Are you saying that that is like categorically bad, or is that not...
No, nothing is categorically bad, okay? But here's the thing, that there's a place and there's a limit when you have too many classes. So, okay, maybe you're just doing it wrong. I said when this whole thing came in, and I talked with you, I sent him my opinion of this whole thing.
Which is quoted in my blog post, by the way.
Yeah, which is quoted in his blog post. So, and what I said there is also very, is also something that you need to understand from my perspective. I think that all of these tools, and tell me actually specifically, mix together the whole concept of design tokens and utility class. And here's the point. Design tokens are great. We should all obviously use design tokens. This is the way to go. Utility classes are also great. They're also a great tool, and we do use utility classes for utility purposes. Doing everything with utility classes doesn't make sense. So yeah, if you are using the same property over and over and over again, and you don't want to use it, and you want to have a utility class, well, so use a utility class for the things that are that make sense to have a utility class, and for everything else, just use regular classes. You can absolutely use utility classes and classes at the same object. And if you'll do it, so that way you will have the most smaller CSS and a readable normal markup. And if you work with design token systems, not like for example OpenProps by Adamark. Mm-hmm. When OpenProps came out, I started playing with it, and I said, "Oh, that's what I realized. What I just told you, that when you use just design tokens without the utility classes upon them, and then just build the utility classes that you need, it's okay. You have 5, 10, 15 utility classes for whatever you need, and the rest is just normal CSS. It made so much sense." I told him that using OpenProp actually made me realize what's wrong with all the other design systems.
OpenProp is like styled system and all that stuff.
It's just a collection of a huge collection of design tokens of colors and anything from colors to animation.
They're all CSS properties, basically. Just CSS variables.
The whole CSS properties with CSS variables. That's what it is. Just design tokens, just tokens, just CSS variable. It's just the value. And right, this is something that we should absolutely use. If you don't want to use OpenProps, you can build it yourself, of course. And if you want to use utility classes, great, use utility classes. Even use Tailwind, but use it with a very specific utility classes that you really use often as utility, and all the rest use normal CSS. And I think this, when you are using this mixture of tools, you can have great synergy from everything and have like the best solution. This is where I'm trying to get.
So I want to make 2 points. So first, circling back to what you said about readability and Tailwind, again, I feel like it's a subjective thing, right? Because for me, when I look at like Tailwind classes and I read someone else's code, especially if somebody uses like the prettier Tailwind and all those toolings around it, which also sort like the classes in kind of consistent way, it makes sense to me. I can build it in my head. I can see like the classes and understand how the styling is going to look, which makes sense to me. That is one point I just wanted to make. The second one is, I just opened up that tweet by Scott Tulinski and the images he had. And by the way,
Can just you share? For the sake of, share yeah, your screen real quick.
I will share just my for, screen just real quick.
Just and, for us, you know.
Just for us, this is not for our listeners. So just so we look at this for a second, and we see right now I'm showing the Tailwind classes that Scott was trying to kind of write with regular CSS. So he has 33 words with 344 characters. And if we compare it to what he has with CSS, it's 28 words with 348 characters. So the argument that he was able to do it with CSS with less characters is just incorrect. And I don't kind of, but, you know, but, you know, it's, yeah.
But, he, but it's four characters different. Come on.
Right. No, but again,
it's not even about, like, I don't care about how many characters it is, but for me, trying to parse what I'm looking at now, parse in my head and translate it to how, you know, that transfers to styles is much more difficult. Can you show, go back to the CSS you have?
Yeah,
you showed it a second ago.
And, I lost it. Sorry.
No, just like the white page that you showed with the CSS a second ago.
I gotta find it. Twitter is so bad at finding shit.
And yeah, exactly. So for me, what we're looking at here is like four levels of nesting, right? So I'm like trying to parse this and like
nesting.
No, we're hold on.
Remover and disable.
Oh right. I'm sorry. I just took the top level line in consideration.
Okay, here's the thing, and that's why I said earlier that maybe I'm not a typical Tailwind user, because yeah, for me I can absolutely read it because this is what I do all day long. But yeah, okay. If you think that the putting it in line is just more readable, I don't know. Maybe it's again, it's just because
maybe you made the wrong life choices.
Maybe your brain is wired differently.
No, that's the way you're used to reading.
Exactly.
But if you would have written normal CSS, you would have gotten used to reading.
Exactly. Words. Exactly. Well, that's why that this.
I think that there is first. Amit, you're kind of assuming that we don't know how to read CSS. Let me stop you here.
I know.
He's absolutely right. If I would back working at Fiverr, used CSS modules, and that's what I wrote all day long, and it was, you know, you get used to it. But that's why I think the discussion about readability is like not interesting, because it's really a matter of what you used to. So you will get, if you write Tailwind all day long every day, you will get used to reading it, and it will become easier for you to read it than other methodologies, you know. So that's why I just feel like it's not even like it's not a discussion worth having, because it's just a matter of like what you do and what you're used to, you know?
Right.
For me, the interesting discussion with Tailwind is not about readability. It's about, you know, the mental model, the development model, and, you know,
and the experience that you have while using Tailwind.
And yeah, just, you know,
I agree that readability is very subjective, and it's not, and it's like it's not a discussion, but I mainly brought it up when I talk about the size of the CSS. That everybody says, yes, the size of the CSS is so much smaller. Yes, but the size of the HTML is so much bigger.
That's true.
So readability aside, as a fact, the HTML, the markup, bigger.
Agreed, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's trade-offs, like everything.
Here's the thing. Yeah, exactly. That's a trade-off. It's not just an invention. But here's the thing. Let's say that you do save some CSS. Most people that talk about, yeah, I'm saving like 300 megabytes or 300 kilobytes of CSS. Okay, but then you import like three JavaScript libraries just to flip a card. Something that you could do with three lines of CSS if you would bother to learn CSS and not just deal with Tailwind.
Hold on.
So
Hold on. Yeah. This is a lot to take in. Hold on.
A lot of people say. And we actually talked about this in our last episode. A lot of people say you don't even know CSS because you just use Tailwind, and that is again something that I don't understand, because Tailwind classes basically map one to one to CSS properties. So if you know how to compose Tailwind classes together, you would know how to compose CSS properties together. You know, it's like the same skill. So
up to a point, because here's the thing. When you go into transforms and animations, this is where Tailwind goes. It doesn't deal the best way with transforms, with high-level transforms and multiple-step transforms. They don't deal with it because most people don't use it. So why actually bother? I obviously don't blame them. But when you do need to use them, knowing Tailwind won't help you.
Well, but you could actually take like the actual CSS for the animations and just put it inside your Tailwind config and define that animation as just a new utility class for that specific animation, right?
Of course you can do it.
Yeah,
but that's not Tailwind. That's just CSS. You can just take this entire HTML, just put it in a class, and call it.
But that's the thing. Tailwind is just CSS. No, it's just CSS classes. It's nothing more than CSS. There is a compiler here that generates the CSS, but eventually, what you're dealing with is just CSS classes. Is nothing more. There's right. Nothing fancy going on here.
And I just want to point your attention, right? I have my screen still shared. And it's funny that just tonight or early this morning in Israel, so the Primogen tweeted out again about Tailwind. And I like this take when he says, I want to use Tailwind. I know it's not the best. I know there's faster versions out there. For something like CSS, the only thing I care about is when I come back to a project at 6 months, I can still do something. I don't want to use Uno CSS. I don't want to change every project. Now, I relate to what he says, right? Because what is the biggest issue with CSS is maintainability.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It actually, it's the same discussion about readability. If he returns to a project...
readability or maintenance? That's the question.
The readability and maintenance, but the important readability is important because of maintenance. When you come back to a project 6 months later, if you look at the CSS and it looks like like Chinese or something, and you say, oh, I don't understand what is written here. So okay, maybe I don't know. So that's a problem. If you think that you're gonna get back to a project 6 months later. And if this project is written with Tailwind, so you could understand it better. Great, use Tailwind.
I don't think it's about understanding it. I think it's about like the decoupling. Since you're coupling between the markup and the styles, right? So yeah. It's very easy for you to make a change and understand what that change affects. Usually when we're doing, you know, vanilla CSS, it involves a lot of the cascade. So a lot of the times it's a little harder to understand, you know, if I'm going to make a change to this style, how will it affect other pieces? You know,
right.
You
should learn things like specificity and what does it mean and how to affect specificity. So this is learning CSS. Again, this is not something that you care about if you're just dealing with Tailwind. Again, by the way, this is not something that I'm blaming Tailwind on. This is something that I kind of blame our culture on. You can see the same thing happened a few years ago. In the React world, that people just started learning React without understanding even what JavaScript is. Now, luckily, I think there is more of a like a voice of developers saying that, okay, learn React, but you should learn JavaScript first. And again, it's the same thing about CSS. You want to use tools like Tailwind, great, use them. Learn CSS, understand what happened in the background. And if you will understand CSS good, so you would understand where the length, where is the point that you would say, oh, you know what? Here I'm going to do it with vanilla CSS because it's going to be easier. But here I'm going to do it with Tailwind because this would be easier. But if you don't bother to learn CSS and you just, I'm just using Tailwind for everything.
But how can you not bother to learn CSS and use Tailwind? This is like a phrase that I don't understand. How can you use Tailwind if you don't know CSS?
You don't bother to learn specificity. You don't bother to. This is exactly what I'm saying, because when you're
using Tailwind. But that's like, who says that you need to know that? It's like, you don't
need
bother.
To know that.
No, hold on. I'm just
Here's
saying
thing,
that,
you
like,
you know that. If you I'm, want to.
Okay.
I'm just saying that, like, you, there are,
that are
guys, accessible. Civilized discussion. Okay, Amit, go ahead.
No. I'm saying that if you want to build accessible websites that are semantically correct, that they're responsive, that they can adjust well to changes in the browsers, you need to understand. You need to build your website in a very semantic way. So yes, you need to understand things like specificity. I think it's kind of one of the basics.
I'm just shocked that you can say specificity so many times and not mistaken it. That's one of the hardest words ever.
Yeah,
I've never found it very difficult to be honest. I'm just saying that, like, we edit it. Every day, we use a lot of high-level concepts that hide or abstract away, you know, a lot of, like, underlying complexity or implementation. You know, nobody says at this point, how can you use a programming language and not bother to learn garbage collection, you know? Nope. Or, like, how can you use a programming language? So I'm just saying that, like, you know, the fact that you don't need to, let's say, worry about specific, I'm not saying it's not an important skill to have, right? But, like, the fact that you don't need to worry, quote unquote, about specificity just means that, like, you're using a tool that is, like, high level enough, or, like, the paradigm is constructed in a way that relieves you from that concern. And that is a great thing.
I don't want to relieve you from that concern. I'm sorry. If you're writing designs, if you're writing front-end components, you should not be relieved of this concern. You should think about your user. You should think about responsiveness and accessibility. You should think about all of those things.
No, hold on. But I don't understand how responsiveness and accessibility relate to specificity.
You should think
CSS.
About strong semantics, and you should think about not creating I forgot how it's called.
What is it?
Yeah, about, sorry.
Again, never mind. Go ahead.
It's not specificity, was just an example, but you should know core basics, understanding of CSS. Specificity was just one of them. Whenever you create a front end component, you shouldn't just say, oh, I know how to build to have a red border or add padding and margins. That's great. But you should understand what a box model is, what the flow is. You should understand layouts.
You have to understand those things to work with Tailwind. The Tailwind does not relieve you from those concepts, right? You have to know them. You have to know, like...
Guys, I think we're in agreement here. I think we're in agreement that foundations are super important. And I think this goes back to what you said, Amit, before. Is that lots of React developers or juniors are learning React without exactly knowing JavaScript and understanding how the event loop works and all that fun stuff. And you worry that, like, maybe junior developers or somebody learning will go in and say, oh, Tailwind is hot shit. I'm going to go and jump right in without understanding, like, how this whole thing works behind the scenes and what it is that is actually happening. Yeah,
exactly. And you should know how things work behind the scene. You should understand. A lot of people, when they're working, let's go back to back in the days where Bootstrap was the thing. So people use Bootstrap and they use absolute values inside Bootstrap. So nothing was really responsive. And one of the main things for a long time was, okay, I'm working with Bootstrap, and 2-3 months after I'm already inside the product, I'm like, okay, I need to do it responsive. You don't need to do it responsive. It should have been responsive from day one. You should have thought of responsiveness from day one.
But okay, so to counter that, by the way, yeah. Just to counter that, with Tailwind, mm-hmm. I had, like, my experience was one time on a project that me and Roman worked on at Fiverr. I actually built a page that was desktop first, and then I had to add responsiveness to it. And because I used Tailwind, it took me like 15 minutes, and it was responsive completely. Just an anecdote.
No, great. Okay, so Tailwind it learned from past mistakes, which is great.
But
I'm not talking about, again, I'm not talking about the tool. I'm talking about the developers. If you're giving somebody just a quick and dirty solution, great, it's a quick solution. But if you're giving it a quick solution, so it's a quick solution, but you still need to know everything that's behind it. And if you would just learn, if you only learn Tailwind and you won't learn CSS behind it, and you won't learn the basic concept behind it, so yeah, you could probably design and build a front-end component, but you will reach, you will never be like a very good developer. You probably won't be like a team leader, because you really need to understand the basic concept to look at the bigger picture.
So hold on, I'm just, you know, like, I don't understand, like, where you cannot possibly use CSS without understanding what CSS properties do. You know, it's impossible. You can use CSS without understanding specificity, because usually you're applying this class to a single element. But if you don't understand what's the difference between display flex and display block, you can't use Tailwind either, right?
Well, you gave a few good examples. Okay, so as for display block and display flex, this is actually something that a lot of developers really don't know the difference of, and I see a lot of people misuse display flex a lot. But I'm not talking about knowing display flex or display block, but understanding what the block axis is, or the inline axis is, or what actually happened when you change the writing mode. Okay, yeah, I can set those properties easily through Tailwind, but really what happens when I actually change them? Like one thing that I see people do a lot is doing outline none without really understanding what outline none is.
Dude,
what
times did I hear like designers say, oh, why is there that ugly outline behind the button? Can we remove that?
Like, accessibility.
Yeah. Accessibility. So here's the thing. If you don't care about accessibility, if you don't really care about learning anything, just put anything. And, you know, it's kind of a... Maybe.
Don't feel like you're in a tight spot to be the defender of CSS.
I'm not in a tight spot,
right?
maybe here's the thing. Maybe you should actually look at it on a broader scale, on a bigger scale, because I think that there are developers that should be front end developers, that from the front of the front end. There's the front end itself is so big. And I think that there's a place for developers to actually learn CSS, to be CSS developer. I'm not a CSS developer, by the way. I'm a JavaScript developer, but I do.
Just a CSS developer by night on his code.
Yeah,
check out his code pen, by the way. Amit's code pen is amazing.
We've already established the term CSSer.
CSSer, yeah. I love this term. So yeah, this whole front of the front, back of the front and front of the front end, It started with a Chris Clear article like years ago, The Great Divide, I think. I remember the first line. So two front-end developers walk into a bar, they have nothing to talk about. So and I believe that I see it every day. So I think we do need more developers that are front of the front-end developers. And I don't think that the front of the front-end developers, me included, are really the types of developers that really want to use, really need to use tools like Tailwind. I think that front-end developers should know basic concept in CSS much more than like full-stack developers. I'm not saying that there's no place for full-stack developers, but that's the thing. Full-stack developers, take like a Tailwind or Bootstrap and build your app, but know that you have problem. And if you want the front-end to be as it should, so bring a front-end developer, a front of the front-end developer.
You call that now a UI engineer? I don't know. There are so many terms.
There's so many terms. This whole front of the front end has had a few names.
By the way, one of the terms that I like, I don't know who coined it, but I use it intermittently a lot, is like front end developers that know the tooling behind everything. I like to call DevOps.
DevOps?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's somebody on Twitter said it. I don't remember.
Me neither.
DevOps. But it's funny. it's a funny one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I find a lot of these sentiments as probably I'm going to say something that will annoy both of you. But I find most of these sentiments as gatekeeping, to be honest, because you know what? Like, if a developer doesn't understand JavaScript, right, he goes straight into React, but that allows him, right, to get the job done and ship to production and make some money, who gives a shit, you know? He shouldn't feel... Okay, but I don't think that person should feel like he's not like a good developer or not like a professional.
I'm not talking about that. Yeah, you can absolutely. If you are a full stack developer and you don't know your CSS, you want to build your own app, great. But you will have accessibility problems. You will have responsiveness problems. You probably have maintaining a problem. And if you want to grow, if you want this, if this product should be bigger at some point, you will hit a certain wall. And at some point, you will need to rebuild your whole application.
Right. To give another analogy, it's like,
And if you won't build it, and it would be a big product, but it won't be accessible and it won't be responsive. Yes, well, I do have a problem with that. And there are a lot of products out these days that are not accessible. And yes, I do have a problem with this. Luckily, there are rules today that's supposed to prevent these, but, you know, not everybody keep those rules.
Yeah, but just to give an analogy for a second about what Roman was saying, and by the way, Roman, I don't necessarily disagree with what you said, but it's like, a student, a high school student that has been taught for a math test, right? He learns the exact things he needs to pass the test, and he can score high on the test. Right. But it doesn't necessarily mean he knows his fundamentals or he actually understands all the intricacies that go behind how to solve like an equation that is complicated. Right. He just saw a few things and then he's just doing what he's done to kind of complete the task at hand. And I agree with Roman and say, like, sometimes it doesn't matter. Right. You might not.
You didn't understand. I've been a full stack developer for most of my career. I called myself a full stack developer for most of my career. Now I'm calling myself a front end developer, and I have done things from application from end to end or like games. And you can say, okay, maybe the front end was good, but I probably have some security issues because I'm not a really great back end developer. So what, I should not have released it because security issues are not less important than accessibility. everything is important, but I did it because who cares? It's just a stupid game that I published on my Twitter. But if this game would have reached a million people, okay, this is a problem. Okay, so the same thing, like security problem, is a problem what you get when you have a bigger product. So front-end problems are a problem when you have a bigger problem. That's what I'm saying.
I agree. I think the question here is, whose problem is it? And when is it a problem? Is like
I'm just fluid. I'm just talking about the attitude. You know, a lot of times, you know, as developers, we say something like, you're not testing your application. Like, what are you even doing? It's like, you're an amateur, you know, or the same thing. You're
using a monolith and not microservices? Oh my God.
Or whatever. I'm just saying that the fact that you're using a high level tool like React, for example, that, you know, DHH gave this good analogy that I love. I mean, he I've said this term on this podcast many times, but he has like a talk where he coins this term, conceptual compression. So he says that like essentially DBAs, right, which were very common back in the day, at this point is a profession that is, you know, mostly unrequired, right? Why? Because we compress the complexity of managing a database, you know, with these like high-level tools, high-level abstractions, to a point where you don't need to be a database expert to get the day-to-day stuff done. Yes, if you have millions of users hitting that database every minute, then you need a person that is like a super professional DBA, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that most people can add an index or do whatever they need to do to get their job done, right, without knowing the intricacies of databases is a great and wonderful thing. And the fact that like, whatever, like a 15-year-old Indian kid can pick up React without even knowing what the event loop is, right? And wrangle wrangle together a website and get a paycheck is a beautiful thing that we should celebrate. You know, we shouldn't give those people the feeling that they don't know what they're doing, or they're not as professional, or they're not real developers or whatever, if they don't know the what Outline None actually does or whatever, or they don't understand the difference between, they don't understand the box model. You know, it's just like, we're in an industry where you get paid for getting the job done. Most of the companies that I've worked for didn't give a shit about accessibility. Now, putting aside my values of the world, blah, 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 eventually I'm getting paid to get a job done. So if accessibility is not a concern for my employer, right, most of the time you don't need to know the intricacies of accessibility, and that's okay. You know, from my perspective, that's okay. Will you level up as a developer if you do learn these concepts? Absolutely. Is it an absolute requirement? No, absolutely not. You know,
well, here's the thing, because you said two different things. So, because you worked at a company that didn't care about accessibility, so this is one problem. But okay, if your employer doesn't care about accessibility and you don't know anything about accessibility, okay, that's great. But if a kid in India that doesn't know anything about accessibility build a website and gets a check for it, as you said, and then the guy that he built the company, the business that he built the website for, is getting sued, so maybe I do have a problem with that. But if that Indian guy is working at the company again, that this the company doesn't care about accessibility, so yeah, it's great. It's I'm not saying that you have to know it. I'm saying that you have to know it if that is what you are doing. And if you are building website, if you are building components for front end, for people to use, so yes, you should know those core values, even if you do need them, especially for leveling up, but just for working. And if you're not working, so maybe at least your manager is working, knows those things, or at least the architect above them. That's what I'm saying. But if this 15-year-old kid just do like his own app and release it, again, that's great. I'm not saying that he's not a good developer. He's an amazing developer. I'm just saying that if you are doing a product that is on front end and is facing customers, so yeah, there are certain things that you need to know. Otherwise, your component, your app won't be good. It won't be...
Again, you need to know what you're getting paid for. I mean, I'm not going to name here.
Yeah, exactly.
But me and you have both worked on a very big app with millions of users that is inaccessible in the worst way possible, you know?
I know. I had an employer, a very big company that I sat with the CTO, and he said to me, like, straight on, I don't give a fuck about. I don't care about...
Right.
And by the way, that is one of the points I make, like, in my post about Tailwind. In the end of the day, nobody gives a shit if you use Tailwind or not. Like, your users don't give a shit. The CEO doesn't give a shit. The CTO, maybe? I don't know.
No, but you,
generally,
you know what they do give a shit about? You getting
shipping.
The fucking job done, yeah, as
shipping.
Quick as possible, you know?
Right.
And from my perspective, you know, most of the time, I do a lot of things that I just hack together that I don't understand fully. And you know what? Most of the time, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. And when it becomes a problem, then I dig into it and I learn and I understand it better. And, you know, I fix the problem. But most of the time, for me at least, ignorance is a bliss. And I love the fact that we're in an industry where you can cobble together, right? Where you can hack shit together, even if you don't understand it fully, right? And this is actually another question I wanted to ask you, but I watched, there's a Twitter by Ryan Florence about the min width zero hack in CSS with Flexbox, where he was like, you know, still like at this, I've been doing this for like 20 years and I still like, I use this all the time, but I don't really know what this does. And,
right.
You know,
this is like when Dan Abramov was supposed to center a div and it took him a while, right?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like the same thing. There are a lot of things that I do on a day-to-day thing, on a day-to-day basis that I don't really understand fully, but I know, right, that if a Flex child does not respect the dimensions of his parent, if I slap a min width zero on there, then it works. So it's like good enough for me, you know.
Right. Okay. So you know that's a great example. That's good enough for you. If I, as a tech lead, would have done a code review for that code, I would have sent it back. I don't care if it's CSS or Tailwind or whatever, because you do need to understand what's happened. And if you are doing it, so there is a reason. And by the way, it actually relates to what I said earlier, that a lot of people misuse Flex, because the whole concept of Flex, that the Flex actually... sets the size of the children and not the other way around, not like grid. That's actually one of the main differences between grid and Flexbox. So if you have to add this hack, so that's what it is. It's a hack. It would probably should have been solved in a better way. Most of the time, sometimes we do need to use hacks. And you talked earlier about shipping and shipping fast with Tailwind. And of course, working with those tools helps ship things faster. No doubt about that. But when there is a but there, when you get to a specific customization, sometimes actually when you're working with, again, so it depends how do you deal with these customizations. If you know what you're doing and you just build your own utility class and you add it to Tailwind like you should, so great. So it's kind of fast, not slower than just regular CSS. But if you try to make if you work with like tools like Bootstrap and you try to make them act the other way around, not the way they're supposed to act, or even if you're working with Tailwind UI, actually, and you need to make changes, sometimes those changes and adjustments can take way longer than they're supposed to. Again, but this is where you should actually know what you're doing when you make adjustments, when you make this small customizations. Those
obviously, but again, I think what Roman's trying to do is that some things are of course beneficial to know a lot, right? It's always good as a developer to understand the intricacies of things and how they work. But on the other hand, I think, and this is something that also came up in our previous episode that we had with Sam and Ryan from Front End First, was that, and this also came up with the discussion we had with Vitaly Friedman, right? So some people just have different learning methodologies, right? Some want to dig deep and start from the bottom and work their way out to the top. Others sometimes just need to learn just in time. They might just encounter a bug and they don't understand why that bug works. And then they work back to understand why that bug happens. And then they learn about, I don't know, specificity or why like min width zero is the solution in the hack that works. But again, what I like to think and what I think in general in humanity, in knowledge, right, is one of the most important things is realizing that you can't know everything and being humble enough to say, all I know is I know nothing. And that is something that I've taken with me from when I've learned it. Like,
but you really
back.
Know nothing. It's not.
Like, I know shit. I don't know anything, man. I don't know how to. Not, I don't know how I got my job. I mean, don't know
you specifically. So it's adequate in this specific.
That's why
situation.
I talk on a podcast, right? That's why now I'm doing DevRel and not engineering. No.
Yeah, but hold on, Amit. Can you explain the min width thing or min height thing? What's going on there? Like why? Why does that solve the flex child doesn't? What's going on in there?
I can't really explain without actually seeing the example. I would say that normally, again, I don't know why this specific hack worked, but normally, again, those kinds of problems happen when you try to make this the flexbox sizes not as they want to be. If you want a more detailed explanation, I would love to take an example of this of the code and look at it further, because I don't know. I know a different hack that involves a min width, that you put a min width in the media query. Have you heard about it?
No. What's that?
So if you put a min width of like a 0/0 in the media query, I remember it's something from
back in the day.
Back in the day, no, it was like 2015 or 16, something like that. We used it as a browser detection, because the /0 was like an escape character, so you could use it like for a browser detection for certain browsers. But it was very long time ago. It was like 2015 or something. I should look up and maybe I would write about it, because I think now it would be obviously won't do anything.
What are some things in CSS that you see people use and you know that they don't understand how it works? Or
every time I see somebody put important on a
yeah,
property, I was like, that shouldn't be there. There was a long conversation between me and Elad Schechter about when when we should, when important is usable. And by the way, one of the places is in utility classes. But people obviously misuse important all the time, because I don't know why it doesn't work, but when I put important, it does work. So yeah, let's put important. But nope, that's not that was not the it's not the right solution. Other than that, I think that I won't say don't use right. I think that people don't utilize the power of custom properties enough. I mm-hmm. think that it's amazing, and people that do start using CSS when they understand, oh wait, I can use custom properties. It's not just variables; they're custom properties. They're more.
You can also. I saw. I think Wes Boss shared this, and you can actually kind of do a whole like block of CSS and use it as a custom property. Is that right?
Yeah, it's not just a value. It can be like a set of values. Or a block of properties, like mixings, you know, like whole classes, So you can absolutely use them, and there is so much power in them, and I really wish a lot of people, more people, would start use them, and I think that if they would use them, it would be more more easy to make adjustments and things later on, and more easy to maintain the code. That's one of the benefits of using custom properties.
Wouldn't it just move the problem elsewhere? Just maybe contain the problem within a custom property instead of like having it spread out?
Depends on what is the problem, but when you are using it as a variable. And like, if you want to change theme, you want to deal with theming like later on, even if you don't use theming first, when you want to implement theming, it's much easier if you're already using custom properties. Again, one example, because a lot of people don't think of theming when they're starting working on their app. They just want like a basic theme, or maybe later on you want to turn your app into a white label. You know, yeah. Things like that.
The scariest word for front end developers, white
label. White label? If
you think about it up front, yes, it's easy to do. But if you have to backport it, it's hard.
Yeah, if you need to backport it, it's the whole thing. But not if you think about doing building a white label app, but just building app with custom properties, with proper structure of everything, so it's easy to do everything to make it a white label.
I agree.
What's your favorite CSS flavor?
Flavor, you
know? Flavor, you know, like how do you like CSS modules? Do you like, you know, when I first came onto Fiverr, they scoped their CSS manually. It's like you would put the name of like the micro front end at the top, and then you would nest each, you know, feature under that class, and you would start every CSS file with like three levels of nesting.
But it's name nesting, right? It's not actual nesting. So
you would do, let's say, like you would do like dot, you know, like whatever, like
dot foo, and then end dash dash bar.
No, you would do like whatever, like gig page service. Then like dot, like the page name or something, like gigs, and under that you would do like
so,
the feature.
Yeah, so that's actual nesting. So the end selectors, because this is just SAS, there's no nesting still, there's nesting in
SAS.
So the compiled version is just a series of classes, and this is not exactly the best idea. But the a better way is just to nest name. So instead of just doing and class, you just do and dash dash class, or end whatever you want class. Normally it's a lower dash. And then the compiled version is just one class, but it's a longer name, but it's just one class.
So do you prefer to do those things manually, or do you prefer CSS modules or something that does the scoping for you?
Well, I normally didn't work with CSS modules too much. I obviously like this whole concept, and I'm actually waiting for, you know, at layers and things so we can actually scope things even better. Normally, what I'm used to, what I've done most of the time is use just BEM, and then I just it's actually kind of my flavor of BEM, because I'm using just one lower dash and not two. I don't know why. So it's kind of a way of scoping things. But I have tried a few different methods over the years, but I found this little feather BAM worked for me best in my projects. But in the last few years, most of the project I did was actually in style component. Most of the commercial things I've done was in style component, like in CSS and JS. So, you know, don't worry about scoping in CSS and JS in style components. Obviously.
And do you like that model? You like that development
CSS
model?
For me, it's just SAS with variables, with JavaScript variables. But that's kind of all it is. I understand why.
Except the cost is incredible, right? The performance cost is is so bad that even like one of the core maintainers of Emotion was like, I'm breaking up with CSS and JS. Also, the fact that it breaks like in React with React Server Components and React 18. And there's a lot of bad stuff there.
Okay. So React 18, this is one problem. They're going to fix it, obviously.
Like when concurrent features are going to be released? I'm playing. I've been hating on React too much lately, but I do love React. Actually,
yeah, but actually, what I wanted to say, I actually understand why when you're working with thing like React or other framework, working with component style or again other framework is just easy because it just combines better, and then you already compiled everything and so it's great. But yeah, as you said, there is a lot of issues specifically with performance and things, a lot of costs. I have to say, like, if you would ask me what I prefer, if I wouldn't have any other things to consider, I would say just vanilla, everything vanilla. I'm a vanilla kind of guy, but in real world, vanilla doesn't work all the time. Obviously, it's not the best way. By the way, even when React started, I was like, no, why? But then I was like, oh yeah, that's why. and by the way, that's the reason I actually try all of these new tools like Bootstrap and Lactalent. I have tried and done. I think I sent you one of my Tailwind projects.
No, you didn't. You said you would, but I guess it's slipped your mind. But okay, now you have an action item from this podcast episode.
One of the reasons I tried was maybe to say like, oh, this kind of has something. There are a few tools like that I've tried that I said, okay, there is something into it. And that's why I said in the beginning about Tailwind, it's a great tool. I'm not going to use it in my project, but it is a great tool for some, for developers that don't want to deal with CSS, that want to get like a quick solution for their app. Yeah, great.
Cool.
And also super serious professional developers that do know CSS, but, you know.
But don't want to name things. And
I don't know. I don't see, seriously, I don't see myself starting a new project music Tailwind. Like, I see myself using a token, a design token library. And I see myself obviously using utility classes. But moving.
What about? I'm interested to hear what your thoughts of also typing CSS. So things like vanilla extract and the likes that actually help you not make mistakes while writing CSS.
Well, they're just, again, tools. If you find them helpful, I use Prettier and all kind of my own linting rules for CSS. And there is a lot of tools.
I'm curious, what are your rules, like your linting rules in CSS look like?
Mostly order of selectors.
Order of selectors. What about order of properties or alphabetizing
order of by properties?
Order of properties by alphabet?
No.
Then by what?
Well, it's a layout box typography.
Hmm.
So from outside to the wrapper to the inside.
Ooh,
alphabet? Are you a serial killer or something?
It's something I came across like in a few projects.
Okay, I do have to say something. I am not writing my CSS in one line. Like,
who does that?
I think that's a good
I'm sorry. I love him, but no, I don't understand. Why do you write a CSS in one line? It's here's the thing. So the CSS is smaller. It's not smaller, but they have fewer lines. The problem with big CSS files is that they're long, like seriously long, thousands of lines. But today you can, in every IDE, you can just do collapse and just find what you need. Writing it in one line is just, I can't. What I do put in one line are things like width height. Because width and height for me is just one line. And then top button for top left, for example. Because for me, it's like width and height is like size. So it's just one property. So one property, so it's one line. But everything else is obviously different.
Well, all right, guys. Seems like it's a great place to wrap up then.
Ooh.
Yeah, wrapping
time. Time flies by.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
This was fun. I like this debate. This was nice.
It was fun because we actually agreed on a lot of things. But yeah, there is different because I see a lot of people just don't care. I do want people to care. You mentioned Vitaly earlier. Mm-hmm. So I was a guest in the Smashing Hour like a few months ago.
Yeah.
And one thing that Vitaly started actually saying, the thing that I love about CSS people is that they're nice people, that they care about other people. And yeah, if you want to deal with CSS, CSS is not just designing components, is caring about the audience, caring about delivering proper HTML, proper CSS, and being, you know, semantic accessible and responsive. I want people to care and saying, yeah, I don't care. It's okay. It's okay. Kind of.
Yeah, but I see what you're saying. Also, designers themselves, they should care about, like, if something is usable, right? In general.
Yeah.
It's a surprise to me that a lot of designers nowadays still don't know, like, fundamentals of CSS and HTML, which are actually the output of their work in the end. And I think, like, every designer should at least have the basic knowledge of how it works, right? The box model. This and that.
Again, with the gatekeeping. You're not a professional designer.
I'm not saying you're not. I'm saying it's going to be helpful.
No, it's not gatekeeping. That's what the second you said designers, maybe one of my many, many problems is that I'm actually, I still remember the time of working with designers that grew up in print. Designers that gave me designs in centimeters and in points. And I try to understand, to explain what pixels are and why the title can be in different width, because, you know, it's like concept that they didn't understand. So yeah, today's designer, yes, they did grow up in a digital world. It's more understandable. But I'm used to designers that don't care. Luckily today I'm working with designers that do care, but I'm used to designers that don't care. So that's why I think that I should, and I think other front-end developers should care themselves.
I agree.
Well, we should care about our users.
Thank you very much, Amit, for coming on. We had a great time. Hopefully,
thank you for having me.
Hopefully a lot of people will relate to our discussion and points of view.
Yeah, hopefully. And yeah, maybe we'll have you next time on when like CSS subgrid is widely available, or layers and cascades and all that fun stuff.
CSS subgrid is on the interop 2023, so it's gonna be by the end of the year, and it's gonna be bigger than you think. I'm building a lot of I have a lot of big hopes for subgrid.
Amazing.
I'm waiting for it.
Very cool. All right, guys.
All right, guys.
Let's wrap it up then. Thank you for coming. And yeah, catch you next time.
Bye.
Peace out. Bye-bye.